Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of The Overlay, a poker podcast brought to you by CCG Poker Radio. Brandon is on the line with us yet again because we're still in quarantine.
Day 98 in quarantine.
It's not quite 98. Today is actually day 72. I think it's day 72 of the vlog because I said that I wouldn't do 72 is the last one I was going to do.
You got to make it to 100 by now.
Yeah, at this point, we're just going to go until it's over. And then somebody was like, it's actually one of my wife's friends, because they like how I talk about like other stuff than like, I don't have anything to talk about poker. So like, I talk about my kids and what we did.
Right. And
how
your turtle
got stuck in a backyard. So her friend was like, oh, you should do a vlog every day. Like, even the vlog is like sucking the life out of me. Not really.
Do you just like dread it at night?
I don't. It's just, I have, normally when I do the vlog once a week and like it's 90% about like the upcoming events for CCG, it's very easy to fill it with content. They're like 7 to 10 minutes long. I know what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about the upcoming weekend. If there's a parking issue, if there's a change in the schedule, like
big tournament
coming up. Like, it's mostly promotional for CCG. Like, there's not a ton of content that's not like, this is completely different. Whereas I'm just trying to talk about everyday life without poker, and like, man, sometimes I'm sitting there for like 20 minutes going, what am I going to talk about?
Right. And then you get into it and you're like 2 minutes in, like, all right, this is going good. And you're like, oh, shoot, I got four minutes left and I got nothing left.
Crash. I can't think of anything. But that's all right. Sometimes those are the funny vlogs. Well, day 72. So episode 13 is going to be all about prop bets. And I thought this is kind of a nice segue, because the original daily no poker vlog came about when you and I were sitting at an event going, if we go on no events for a while because of Corona, we were still calling it coronavirus back then. You're like, how long do you think you can go doing the vlog every single day of no poker? And what was the number that we put on it?
We said something small, like in the 20s, I think. Like, there's no way you're going to get a month.
Right. We also didn't think we would be closed that long.
Right.
I honestly think
by May we'd be back.
Yeah, I think the over and under was like 12. Because we thought it would be like 2 weeks tops, maybe 3 weeks. And now we're going on 71 days of no poker and still no poker. But anyways, today's episode's going to be all about
10 weeks.
Prop bets.
I love prop bets.
I love prop bets too. I had a really good definition of prop bets. So why don't you kind of talk up for a minute while I re-Google prop bets?
Re-Google prop bets definition. Yes. So I like prop bets in the aspect of like at the poker table. Mm-hmm. Now, I know casinos don't really let you do side bets, prop bets. They don't let you exchange the money at the table.
Correct.
But you can, like, what we usually do is we just keep track, never exchange money, then exchange the money outside.
Right, later.
Oh, you're up 100, you're down 100, and you're even. All right, cool. You owe you 100.
Right, when I'm leaving, so here's what I owe you, or I'm leaving, you're going to have to pay me, whatever the case may be, Venmo it, something like that.
Venmo, QuickPay, PayPal. Cash App.
All right. I've got Wikipedia, which we have gone on record on this podcast to say is the utmost source for information, because your dad told us that a source that can be edited by everyone on the planet makes it the most reliable source.
It's got 6 billion editors.
6 billion editors. All right. In gambling, a proposition bet, a prop bet, prop, novelty, or side bet is a bet made regarding the occurrence of a non-occurrence during a game, usually a gambling game, of an event not directly affecting the game's final outcome. That's really what it is.
That's a pretty good definition.
Traditionally, proposition bets can be made on outcomes such as the number of strikeouts a pitcher will have, accumulating in a baseball game, whether a non-offensive player will score in the American football game. What is an American football game? Whoa. I guess that's just football, but they're thinking NFL. Like not soccer games. But anyways.
Yes.
So yeah, prop bets and poker go hand in hand like lamb and tuna fish.
Does that say that there?
No, that's a thing I say. It's from Big Daddy. It's like a random like things that don't go together, but like clearly this goes together.
I had no idea this.
No, yeah, like peanut butter and jelly. Do you like this term better? Peanut butter jelly.
Yes.
So yeah, prop bets. What are they? How do you do them? What to look out for? You know, what are the craziest side bets, prop bets that you and I have both either been a part of or experienced? So let's
well, first
just,
of all, go ahead. Anybody that's
shit,
go ahead.
I forgot. Before we get into the actual episode, we have our first listener question. I literally wrote it down in the outline of stuff to talk about and then completely overlooked it.
It's good. Shows that we're truly just winging this.
Just winging it.
We have no outline.
Yeah, 5 minutes in, we have no idea what we're going to talk about. All right, so our first listener question, this was from Sandy. She actually emailed me, but if you guys want to send your questions or comments or anything like that, you can hit us up on Twitter at @theoverlay_pod. You can also hit us up at any of our email addresses. I'd be happy to give mine. It's Ken@ChicagoCharitableGames. So shoot me an email with whatever you guys got, tips, tricks, episodes, things that you want to do, because we're just like the vlog. I'm running out of stuff to talk about. So by all means, send us your tips. But this is a longtime listener, long email writer, Sandy. She writes me like crazy long emails, and she's sweet. Like they're very nice. They're very complimentary. There's no mean spiritedness in them at all. Even though she did say sometimes Brandon talks about ICM and it doesn't seem like he knows what the hell he's talking about. And I was like,
that's true. Thanks,
Sandy, called that bluff. All right, so Sandy's question for Brandon is, do you use emotion in decision-making, or do you believe emotion has to be taken out of the equation? So I think she's referring to poker in general. Do you think emotion has a part in the decision-making process, or should you be very non-emotional, extremely analytical and logical?
Oof.
Do you have to go both ways? Can you kind of find a middle ground? What's your official answer?
Making emotional decisions is, on average, not going to be the optimal decision, I think.
Okay.
Like, yeah, in a vacuum, like, if you just took 10 emotional decisions, like, you're going to let the emotions get the best of you, and it's probably not going to be the most...
Not GTO.
GTO.
Yeah.
Logical, maybe thought-out way of playing the hand. You just played it one way because you let the emotions take the best of you. With that being said, I have done that probably somewhere along the line in every session I've ever played.
For sure. Everybody does. Anybody who says that they don't let emotions get involved in the game, you're lying. You're lying to yourself. It's definitely something that happens. We talked about it in past episodes where I'm like, I'm going to get that guy. Or you get the Jerry Yang Todd effect where they play like such... You know, they're so loud and you want to beat them so bad. Like they're using that... your emotions against you. And that's certainly something that I think everybody does. And if you can do it well, it can be profitable. But I think in the long run, if you use emotions over like game theory optimal, you're probably not going to do well in the long run.
Right. Like just steam raising the next hand when, you know, you just took a bad beat. Like it might be a playable hand that you should be raising, but like you're still gonna let the emotion take the best. And now sometimes it works out great. You just steam raise jack eight of diamonds and you flop three diamonds,
right?
You pound, 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 and you win the pot. But that doesn't mean it was like correct.
Just because you won the hand does not mean it's the correct course of action that you were supposed to take. So
in general, don't let emotion get the best of you, but it's gonna happen and it's inevitable. So just try and minimize it.
All right. Thanks, Sandy. All right. Back to prop bets. So what are some of your favorite prop bets that players play in, you know, in a game of poker?
So first off, if somebody's proposing a prop bet to you, they probably got the better side of it.
They know the angle. They know the probability that you're probably going to be on the losing end of it. Give us an example.
Yes. The any three cards game, 2-3-4, jack, seven, deuce.
Yeah, I always heard it called jack, seven, deuce, which means anytime a jack, a seven, or a deuce, if you're playing jack, seven, deuce, and again, the three cards are arbitrary. It could be any three cards, 2-3-4, king, 7-5. Brandon and I were talking about this before the podcast, and he was just like giving me a bunch of combinations, and I was like, Brandon, I understand what random any three random cards means, but basically you pick three cards. The game I always heard was jack, seven, deuce, because it's like the median hands, right? Like it's one big, one middle, one low card. And anytime one of those comes out, then you have to pay the other player, say, $5. And anytime a flop comes out without one of those three cards, then the other player wins. So basically, I take three cards out of all 52, and you're taking the rest.
Yes.
Now, what
that game has a pretty huge advantage to the person that has Jack 7 deuce.
Correct.
Any three random cards is going to, if you have those three random cards, it's going to hit. We did the math a bunch of times. It's like 55, 54, mm-hmm. between 54 and 56% of the time, which is a rather sizable edge.
It is. So, I mean, it's basically like saying you would, and the funny part about that is, and this is what prop bets kind of do if you're not in on a prop bet. So if somebody asks you to play Jack 7 Deuce or any three cards, I'll pick three random cards. You get everything else in the deck. It sounds too good to be true because it is. The person who's taking the three random cards has a better likelihood of hitting one of those three cards versus your any other card in the deck.
Correct.
Now, again, it's only 55% to 45%. But in all honesty, if you want to play me on a coin flip where I have a 5% edge, 10% edge, what is the actual edge on that? 55, 45, would that be a 10% edge?
Or I think it's a 5% edge.
Yeah, that's a little weird. Too much thinking for me, but
because it doubles, whenever it goes one way, it goes the other way.
I mean, it's just like I have a statistical advantage to win, and yeah, I'm going to get you on that prop bet. Over the long run, I'm going to win more money from you.
So whenever somebody says like, "Oh, let's put Jack 7 Deuce," and they're like, "Oh, come on, it's not that big of an advantage," they'll say like, "Ah, yeah, I have a slight advantage, but let's play. Like it's fun. It's good for the game." I always just rebuttal with like, well, I'll take Jack 7 Deuce and you take the rest if you want
to play. Right. If you want to play that
prop. And then they're always like, oh,
Nah, I don't want to do that.
Nah.
I mean, literally.
But that is a fun prop.
Giant casinos have been built on a small edge that the house has. And that's just the way they literally make a $1 billion industry.
Right.
You should know.
55-45, Vegas is built.
I don't even think it's that good. Like if you play optimal blackjack, I think the house edge is like 2% or 3%.
Right? Yeah.
Like that's insane. Right. All right, so Jack 7 Deuce is a big popular game. Definitely don't play it if somebody asks you for it or try to reverse it on them. See if you can get them. Maybe they don't understand the math and they just heard it on a podcast somewhere and they're like, oh, I want to play this. And they didn't listen to the whole podcast. So do that. Another big popular game that cash game players like to play is the 7 Deuce game.
Yes.
Or Deuce 7, however you want to.
So now the thing about the 7 Deuce game is it kind of directly affects the action and the outcome of the actual game being played.
I was gonna mention that because we have seen on a live stream from CCG Poker TV where they're playing the 7 Deuce game, which basically means if you end up winning the pot with 7 Deuce, you get a set number from you win the pot and then you get whatever from each player, $5, $10, $20, whatever the actual bet itself is. Meaning every player at the table has to pay you the predetermined amount of money because you won the hand with 7 deuce. And then typically there's even another side action after that. If you're the last guy to fold, then they have to pay double.
Against the 7 deuce,
right.
Pay double. You fold out and you're last and then 7 deuce wins, you pay double.
You pay double. But it is a fun game. But it does, considering the definition of a prop bet is that it does not affect the outcome of the game directly, that is kind of, complete opposite of that, right? Because people are raising and doing weird stuff with 7 deuce because they're trying to win this side bet. So,
you know, it almost makes everyone perfectly balanced when they bet big on the river because they can have the nuts or they can have 7 deuce. Like it's automatically in their range
in your mind.
Having 7 deuce.
Yep. It adds a whole nother dimension.
It adds a whole nother, a whole nother level to the game.
All right. So
that, that makes the game just.
It's fun. It does what it's supposed to do. It creates action in the game, and that's what every poker player wants is they want to create more action. I know people say that they don't want, but ultimately that's what you want. You want a game that's got action in it, and it's more fun, and it's exciting to play in, and this definitely is making the game more fun to play, even if you get beat. Because there's nothing better than folding, you know, a crappy flush because you're worried the guy's got the higher flush and he rolls over 7 deuce. You're like, God, you get a bluff through. Now I got to pay this extra money on top of it. Plus all the other players are like, no. I mean, it makes it so much more fun. And then on the flip side, sometimes you call with that worst flush because of the fact that you think, well, he could have 7 deuce and he's trying to make a move on me. And it makes it super fun.
Yep.
Other prop bet games, red, black.
So I think, red, black, I think is the one that True. People end up getting the most soaked on, and people end up like playing when they're tilted and losing. It's like, let's just do red black for 200. Like, I'm tilted. Like, now, then they start doubling it.
Yeah. What does that exactly mean? When you say red black, what does that mean to the players? Meaning, I'm going to play red black, pick one or the other.
usually it's whatever the flop color is, red or black, 2 out of 3, that side wins. If it's all 3 out of 3, sometimes they do double. And then if it's all the same suit, sometimes they do 4 times.
Whoa.
So, you know, if it's like club, club, diamond, obviously black wins. If it's club, club, spade, black wins double. If it's club, 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 black wins 4 times.
4X, whatever the bet is.
Right. So,
and what are some of the big PLO games that you've played in that you've seen people do these prop bets, red or black? How extreme have you seen them get?
I mean, I've seen $200 a flop. So 200, 400, 800.
Jeez. On just red or black?
On just red or black. And this is on every hand for a couple orbits, an hour. You know, this isn't just like, oh, let's just do it
one and done. This is like a continual prop bet.
Right.
That's crazy. What about one that I read that I was looking up to see like if I'd missed any or if I had forgotten about any? And there was one just called Pick a Card. Each player at the table picks one card, deuce, 4, 6, 8, whatever it is. And then if an 8 comes out on the board and you have 8s, everybody else at the table has to pay you for your prop bet.
So I think that's like the original OG like prop bet that they did in like high stakes poker, like 2004.
Right.
It was propping with one card. And then they would do, like, you pick the card and the suit. And it was another one of those layers game where you pick the 8 of spades. If the 8 of spades comes, it's $5. If a black 8 comes, it's $2. And if a red 8 comes, it's $1.
Right.
So you kind of have all the variations of the 8s. And then you do double in the middle, double on the river.
Oh.
So if it's the middle card of the flop, it's double. And then the river is double as well.
That's
so
interesting.
It adds a little multiplier. That was, like, the OG original, like, 2008, if you're like, let's prop, it's like, all right, I got the queen of spades. All right, cool. I got the 4 diamonds. Let's go.
See what happens.
Yeah. And then you can just play that. You can play that like, you know, you can play $5 for your gin card, $2, $1. You can play that all day. You know, you're probably only going to win or lose 50, 60, 70, you know, $100 if you get
soaked. Because the odds on that is the same for each person, right? There's no advantage. If I pick the queen of spades and you pick the jack of hearts, like there's no like, the queen of spades has a more likelihood of coming out. Although you do like to tell people that spades are the most common flush that hit and that they are statistically, you're more likely to hit a spade flush than any other flush.
Correct.
We'll leave that.
It's fact. That's why my prop card is the 8 of spades.
We'll leave that because I think one day you try to lead me to believe that's because spades are, there's more paint on each card and that they're heavier. I thought that was a really fun way to talk about things. But now besides just regular poker cards, poker, you know, prop bets, there are several different side bets in just all over gambling in general that you can do. Like we were talking about DFS, Daily Fantasy Sports. They have tons of stuff. It even mentions it in the definition of prop bets where you can bet on how many strikes a pitcher is going to throw or strikeouts or, you know, I always bet the Super Bowl, and I have never once bet a team or the over and under. Never.
You bet the coin.
The last 10 years, all I've ever bet on the Super Bowl itself is I always bet the coin flip, and then I normally like to back that up to, and I call it my hedge bet. I always like to do the first turnover. I like the first turnover bet, whatever team is going to give up the first turnover. What are some of the other ones?
The Super Bowl's
got tons.
Crazy town.
How long the Star Spangled Banner is going to be?
That's one of the best ones, and I have a cheat code for that one that you can email me at Brandon@ChicagoTradableGames. You can ask me for that cheat code. I won't say it on the air, but I think I've won it, the national anthem over under like 6 years in a row.
Have you really?
Swear to God. I always win it, and I'm always at a family party with a bunch of my mom and dad's like church friends, and I'm like, I swear to God, every day. Now by like, this is happening 4 years in a row, they kind of like, they're like, oh, Brandon,
they're on to you.
Ha, ha, ha. They are, but like, they're just like, wait, you just won $200 because you timed this thing? And I'm like, oh yeah. And I got this, and like this Super Bowl, I kind of went a little crazy town. I probably had like 5,000 to 7,000 in prop bets.
Wow.
Just a bunch of random stuff. And
yeah,
a bunch of different things. I hate that Shakira was going to open with She-Wolf for like 18 to 1, and a honey ball on it.
Nice.
And everyone, why are you so pumped? And there was this article, I swear to God, there was this DFS article on some guys like, She-Wolf is the best bet. Because when she opened for the FIFA World Cup, she did this song. She isn't going to do this older song. This newer song's out. So they did like a process of elimination. They were like, basically it's either going to be this song or this song. So just bet them both and you should win. And I did that. And
right, because the odds are better if you win one. It doesn't matter, like 18 to 1 or 15 to 1.
I mean, it was like 18 to 1 and like 9 to 1. It's yeah, like, okay, cool. Right. I spent 100 on both. And luckily, obviously, you root for the 18 to 1.
Right.
But there's unlimited stuff in the Super Bowl. But if you just back it up, going back not in the Super Bowl, these DFS touts, like these guys that are super good at DFS, like they can look at a slate and like know which pitchers are going to dominate and know which hitters are most likely to hit a home run. And like they have all the huge statistical data. Metrics yeah. now that like says, well, this pitcher dominates or this hitter dominates pitchers exactly like this pitcher. So even though, you know, he only has 8 at bats in a lifetime, other pitchers that compare exactly like this one, he crushes. So I'm going to bet that he has over 2 RBIs or hits a home run at 10 to 1 or I guess the easiest thing would be, you know, you pick a pitcher that you think is going to dominate because they dominate offenses like the Cubs. The Cubs strike out a bunch against pitchers like this. Well, this pitcher's pitching the Cubs. You look and say, oh, the pitcher's over under is 5.5 strikeouts. Cool. I'm going to pound the over. So these DFS guys really, they make more money on player props than they do on like betting the Cubs to win or betting the team, you know, betting the Diamondbacks.
Whatever team they think is going to win, right.
Even though the pitcher is going to dominate the Cubs, they'd much rather put up $500 on the pitcher's strikeout total than whether or not the Diamondbacks are going to beat the Cubs. So it's like a whole different world of sports betting that once you're in it, you're in it. But to the average guy like you, you couldn't look in and be like, oh, this pitcher, 5.5 strikeouts? Nah, I think he's going to go over because the Cubs suck. Like, you have no idea. You'd much rather just like watch the game and bet the Cubs because the Cubs are good, or the Sox or whoever, you know. But like, there is this whole different secondary level of sports betting. And people don't even bet. They don't bet sides. They don't bet over-unders. They don't bet who's going to win. They bet that this guy's going to get a hit and that this guy's going to strike out more than 6 people. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah, the mind of the gambler never ceases to amaze me that they can come up on things to gamble on more than anything. And it's just random stuff. So another part of prop bets is again, I'm going with Wikipedia here. It's called Dare for Money, which is just a, you know, it's a prop bet, but it's really more of a dare, and they just call it a prop bet. And what are some of the most famous prop bets that poker players love to do or that have done? We talked about one, Antonio Estefandari. Is that how you say his name?
Estefandari. Yeah.
He had to lunge everywhere for 48 hours. He couldn't walk. He had to lunge.
And I think that's the same tournament that he ended up peeing in a bottle at the table because he didn't want to miss hands on the bubble, but he had to pee, but he had to lunge there. So it was going to take too long. So then he peed in a bottle at the poker table and then got disqualified from the tournament.
No.
I think that's the same tournament. Like, you might want to just look this up. We should have been prepared for this.
Well, I'm looking at it right now.
It's the same tournament that he peed in the bottle and got kicked out of because of the prop bet that he had to lunge everywhere.
Wow. He decided to bring a bucket to the table and use it to relieve himself as he could no longer lunge to the bathroom. As Findari's antics at the table were discovered as one of the result, he was kicked out of the PCA. So yeah, no, that's absolutely true. Yeah. Although he won the $50,000 bet from Perkins, his reputation took a hit, and Estefandari, God, I can't say that name. Antonio admitted in retrospect that he probably should have used better judgment. In retrospect, he ended up donating the $50,000 to charity because he kind of felt bad. But now another fun one, this is number 2 on the list of top 6 craziest prop bets by poker players. Do you remember when Dan Blazarian bet that he could bike from LA Vegas, to though. Vegas or yes. one of the two in 48 hours.
Yeah. Yeah.
Again, that's Perkins.
That's the other one I was going to say.
That guy's another guy. And now he rode with Lance Armstrong. Oh, no, he worked with him, trained with him to try to do it. That's another crazy one.
Which, basically, side note, did you watch the ESPN documentary on Lance Armstrong?
No. I didn't even know that was a thing yet.
Oh, he basically says, oh, it's been on like part 1 and part 2 were on like 2 days ago and yesterday. He basically says, you guys thought that Jordan was an ass and was crazy town and was basically like a bully. He's like, hold my beer. I'm going to show you guys what it really is. And like, he is full blown. I mean, it's like kind of difficult to watch. He's just like, yeah, I cheated. Like, after staring death in the face, like, it wasn't difficult to cheat. Like it's crazy. You should watch. I only watched like the first half of the first one, but it's, I never really realized how sick he really was.
Yeah.
Like, he almost died.
Yeah. Cancer, right?
Like, yeah, testicular cancer. But I thought that, like, oh, he had testicular cancer, you know, they cut it out and, you know, like, that was it. And it was his Livestrong story. And, like, sure, he's a cancer survivor, but I didn't know that they, like, it was in advanced stages. Mm-hmm. Like, when they found it out on, like, October 22nd, the doctor's like, look, you got these spots on your lungs. You got this. It's all from this cancer. And Lance Armstrong's like, are you sure? Like, he's like, I'm so sure, you got surgery in 8 hours. So go home and get sleep.
Wow.
Like, just full blown. They had surgery scheduled for 7:30 the next morning. Because, like, that's how bad it was. And then he wasn't responding to the chemo. And the doctor said he told Lance Armstrong it was 50-50. But he really thought he wasn't going to make it. He just said 50-50 to give him hope.
Jeez.
Yeah. And I mean, like, you look at him, pictures in the hospital bed. I mean, he looks awful.
It's rough.
He looks awful. Like, you would never say that this guy was a,
if you were taking prop bets on if he was going to survive, you definitely would have pounded the not survive section of that.
So one of the big prop bets at the beginning of March was whether or not the WSOP was going to get canceled.
Yep.
And that was going off at 20-1, and people were gobbling it up. I'll take any action at 20-1 that you want. Like, I'll put up 200K to your 10K, whatever you want. Like, let's go. There's no way this thing's getting canceled. Coronavirus could never, you know, upend U.S. life where they wouldn't run as big of a tournament as the WSOP. And, like, looking back on it, like, seems like WSOP was one of the ones that were, like, destined to fail from the start. Like, once it became, like, an international crisis, like, the WSOP is so broad and so international. Like, of course they're not going to let these guys fly in from Italy and China and,
no,
and the UK and Russia. Like, yeah, I mean, it seems like a slam dunk. I wish I could go back and fire some 20-1 on that.
That would have been nice.
I don't know, since it's postponed, if, like, if the 20-1 like got paid,
right?
Or if, like, they,
that's
have
where
to
it gets weird,
see,
right? And that's, right, what happens.
Now it's rescheduled.
Like, they're not, like, official bets, and it's hard to, because you could argue the case either way. Well, it didn't get canceled, it got postponed. I guess you have to make sure, if you do a prop bet like that, that you set it up very easily. But then again, if you're betting,
you have that in the fine print.
Again, if you're not betting with a casino and it's just a friendly bet between two people, I mean, there's a likelihood that you're not going to get paid.
Right. I can argue both sides, especially some at 20-1.
Right.
Like, I'm like, dude, it is not canceled. Like, if they run this thing in September, like, it ran in 2020.
Right.
And the guy's like, yeah, but they deviated the schedule and it's not going on today like it should be. Right. So who knows?
What was what was the weight loss bet between the two brothers? Jamie Stapleton?
Oh yeah. Jamie Staples.
Staples.
And his brother
Billy.
No.
That's not his name. I don't know his name though.
Oh my gosh, I can picture a Matt Staples.
And the bet was that one brother was very heavy and one brother was pretty skinny, and the bet was that they couldn't be within 10 pounds of each other.
I think they were 120 and 320. No, 120 and like 310.
Oh, wow.
And they had 1 year to be the exact weight within a pound. They only had a pound, and they can only weigh in one official time.
Oh, wow.
So they I mean, you know, they could practice and they can weigh in 15 times in the day and then be within it, but then it's like, all right, this is the time that counts. I have one time, and then they had to be that time. So there was a decent amount of variance.
Even if they got to that close, it's still difficult, because I mean, if anybody knows, and you know, if you've wrestled at any point and you move the scale slightly, like, it'll weigh differently. Like, it's just the way scales work. Like, if you move them a little bit, it'll give you a different weight.
They bought a $1,000 scale. They had like a coach that was there, like, managing their water, like, for the hours leading into it. And I mean, they ended up weighing the exact weight to the exact, it was like 191.3, both of them.
Wow.
So they hit it on the exact head.
So one brother lost like 130 pounds and the other one had to gain like 70.
Jeez. Yeah. And then, like, at the end, it was so funny because because the kid who lost the weight was he was gonna gain a bunch of weight back. Like it wasn't very like it wasn't exactly the healthiest 130. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, he lost 100 pounds for sure of like fat. But like the last 30 was kind of just like manufactured. So I mean he instantly put on like 20-30 pounds.
Right.
Like in the first 3 weeks of just like even just eating still on a diet, but not what he, because he was eating like 800 calories a day.
That's
and working
insane.
Out like twice a day. Right. So he, yeah. So it was funny because the flip side, the kid had gained so much weight. He was just sick because he was gaining weight healthily where he was like bulking up, like trying to like eating like a bodybuilder type
right.
diet, just full of carbs, trying to just gain muscle. And at the end, the skinny kid, the big kid who is now skinny, was chomping on a piece of pizza, and the skinny kid who is now big was chomping on a salad, and they were both just like, feels good to be able to eat something that's
right
the opposite of what they've been eating
for sure. And that's what happens to anybody, right?
Yeah, but it was pretty cool that, you know, you followed them and they got 50-1 on that on $2,000.
Wow.
So I mean, the cool 100,000,
yeah.
I mean, that's Bill Perkins again.
Yeah, he likes his prop bets.
He does. But then Jamie did, and this one didn't really get much. Jamie did lose back 10K of his because Bill Perkins bet, I think I might be making these numbers up, but it's something like 10K to win 100K. He gave Jamie Staples 10-1 that he couldn't get to under 10% body fat in another year.
Mm-hmm.
And he failed.
Couldn't
he instantly
it.
He put on like 25 pounds like right after, you know, after the prop bet ended. And then like he tried and like he got behind and he's just like, there's just no way. And he went through and like he battled and kind of really didn't give up until the last month. So he still went through 11 months and like tried. And obviously, you know, you take the silver lining of that. He got healthier and it was a free roll of 10K kind of. It's Bill Perkins' own money and maybe it was just like a nice gesture to like maybe give him back a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, one of those, you know, you win 5,000 off of somebody. You're just like, all right, what do you want to do? Maybe you can win 1,000 back. Like you're still going to book a $4,000 winner, but maybe they can get 1,000 back. So that was interesting.
Yeah. Another one that they talk about is Phil Ivey and Tom DeJuan. Tom DeJuan bet Phil Ivey that he couldn't be a vegetarian for 12 months and he would pay him $1 million if he could. And Ivey accepted the bet and tried raising the stakes to $5 million, but DeJuan declined since he did not have the money. In retrospect, DeJuan should have accepted the bet, as within 20 days, Ivey decided to pay DeJuan $150,000 was to settle the buyout because he's like, I can't do this. This is awful. I'm out.
Yeah, I think actually, though, you know, if it went up to $5 million, that might have incentivized Phil.
Oh, for sure.
Because then the buyout is now $500,000 if you times it by five, or, you know, the buyout just goes up higher and he can get away for a cool 150K. He lost that the previous night anyways, or won it.
Exactly. So, well, let's.
Then there was the last one, really okay. Quick. Wasn't there the one about the guy who had to, like, stay in a bathroom for a
yes,
month?
Yes, that one.
In the dark?
That one, yeah, complete sensory deprivation, right? Like where there was no sound, no light. I think he got his food from like the bathroom door or something. They like locked him in a bathroom and like tons of people are like, you shouldn't do this. This is dangerous, blah, 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 blah. And I think, did that ever actually happen or did he do it for like a couple of days and then they just stopped?
No, I think it got to like day like 20 something and then the other side bought out.
Like they felt bad, like the...
Yeah, like, all right, we'll give you half of it. Just come on out. Like, or we'll give you whatever it was. But I think the guy ended up actually winning the bet and not having to go through the 30 days, which is like a win-win.
That is a win-win.
Yeah. Ugh. Part of me thinks, like, when I initially heard him, like, oh, 30 days in the dark bathroom, I'm like, I could do that. But now sitting in my apartment quarantine for 73 days, and this is with phone, internet,
full access to whatever you want to do, Netflix,
everything I could ever want. I don't think I could ever do
30 days
in
the dark with nothing.
Not a chance.
Yeah, I don't. I would. There's no amount of money.
I wouldn't even try. I'm scared.
I'd go crazy.
Yeah.
So the last thing I want to do to wrap up this episode about prop bets is give us your best prop bet story. I have one that I'm thinking of for myself, but I want to hear what your favorite prop bet story can be about another player, can be about your own personal prop bet that you took. What do you got for us, Brando?
Or do you want me? This is me?
Yeah.
Yeah, you go first. I thought you were talking to our audience here of 750 people that were going to all email us their best prop bet.
Well, I would love to hear that too. I mean, hit us up on Twitter or email us, let us know. That would be awesome because I love prop bet stories because they're always fun. But my favorite prop bet story, and I don't know if you were there.
Oh,
you'll have to remember it. We were at Q Bar in Darien. You remember that pool hall? We were in like the side room. We were cleaning up, and anyways, I had found like a half full or like a third full. It wasn't half. It was like a third full bottle of Gatorade, like just a regular Gatorade bottle, like the 20-ounce, like not the big fat Gatorade bottle, but like the skinnier bottle, which is important. And I threw it from across the room, and I think the way it went is I threw it from across the room and drilled the first shot. Like the garbage can was a square garbage can up against the wall, and I just drill it, throw it in.
And for those of you guys that don't know, the hard part about this prop bet, guys, is that the ceiling is so low.
Right.
Yes. So you can't get the distance of the Gatorade bottle without like the height of the ceiling. So it's a very fine line of like.
Right. Because it was like 40 or 50 feet away. Like it wasn't close.
Oh, it was far.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it might even been like 70 feet away. So anyways, I just randomly, dumb luck, throw the first one and just swish. Michael Jordan-esque fadeaway. Dunzo, yep. I'm in. And somebody goes, I bet you couldn't do that again. I was like, absolutely, give me the bet. And I think it was like, whatever it was, long story short, I threw that Gatorade bottle for a half an hour, never even sniffed the garbage can again. And we kept doing it like over and over. I think it was you and I betting, actually, now that I think about it.
I definitely had. I know that I've made money.
And I lost like $800 throwing this Gatorade bottle. $800 just down the drain, flushed. Because it kept doing like, because you were like 10 to 1 says you couldn't do that again. I was like, book it, 10, you know, 10 bucks or whatever. And I brick. And then I was like, all right, double or nothing, brick. And then I was like, I need better odds because this is way harder than I think. Brick, 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 brick. 45 minutes later and $800, I'm done.
Yep.
And then I think I threw the bottle outside in the street, but I don't remember what that actually happened to the bottle.
Mine is similar to that. CCG, it has when we brought the party time cardboard boxes and we had ping pong balls that Teach brought to prop bets.
To do prop bets, because he's the king of prop bets for sure.
And then it was me, you, and Joe Martinez. Yep. Shout out if Martinez is listening. And we played this like beer pong game, which was like it had like tiers. It was like we put masking tape on the floor, and it was like 1 point, 2 point, 3 points.
Trying to throw ping pong balls into a cardboard box,
and everybody had five shots, and it was just like I think we did high man pays low man.
Right.
I mean, low man pays high man. Correct, the guy that in the middle just, and we were doing $100 rounds, and it was crazy strategies like. I think KJ's strategy was just going for the three-pointers the whole time.
Yeah.
Well, I would, like, get on the board for two with, like, two little short ones, then move back up to the two-pointers, and then if I break the two-pointer, you know, go back down to the one-pointers. And meanwhile, Joe and KJ just kept on going for the Hail Marys, and they'd occasionally make one, but then, like, they would lose. And I remember winning an extreme amount of money in that game.
That was another
I won, like, 1800.
Yeah.
And like you lost 1400 and Joe lost 400.
Yep. I do remember that. Good God.
And geez. That was,
I hope
so
my wife
fun.
Doesn't listen to this because if she that learned that
so
I lost
fun.
A combined over $2,000 between ping pong balls and a
Gatorade bottles,
she'd divorce me. It's possible.
It's probably possible. She won't listen. I mean, come on.
Teach does love to do prop bets though, because I have seen him try to throw a dollar chip onto like an adjacent table from like across the table. But like sometimes like there'll be like you know, a row of like three tables and they'll be all the way on one side and he's got to throw it over an entire table of players to the open table, which is like two tables away. And again, you have to play the ceiling, and sometimes, you know, I mean, it was great. And like just the fun that's when prop bets get fun. Like, I know Jack 7 Deuce is a good game, and if you can get somebody to do it, it's kind of an angle, and it's fine, blah, 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 and you're just taking your shot when you can get it. But the side bets that include just random acts of things that just nobody practices. Who the hell practices throwing a dollar chip from?
There was something about a dollar chip and on the light of the ceiling, too. Those, like, side lights at Toyota Park. Like, they have little cups on them.
Yeah.
It's like, make them in there.
Yep.
Just, yeah, he loves throwing dollar chips around.
He does.
How about when he bet Nick A that he couldn't jump over that table?
That was awesome. And then who ended up doing it, Val?
He did it. No, Nick A did it. He looks like the most unathletic poker player. You're like, you would never expect him. And he just scales that whole entire table.
Right, just leaped over it.
Yep.
That's pretty good. Prop bets.
Oh. How about the time where... I know you had where you where you made Bud run all the way to the one side of the room and back.
Oh, wow.
Remember that? But
no.
Then there was another one. Yes, you do. Come on. I was on the soccer fields at the Max. And remember you gave him the mustache?
Oh, yeah. He lost like $50. He says, I couldn't pay it. And I was like, fine, let me draw I should say Charlie Chaplin mustache on it, but it was a Hitler mustache that I drew on his upper lip because one, we thought
for
it was funny because it was
Black Friday.
Yeah, because we thought it would be funny. And then the poor kid had to go to like traffic court that Monday. And he couldn't get the permanent marker off and he had to go to court with that on. Oh, God. Yeah, prop bets can get dangerous.
Prop
bet episode's painting me out to be a full-blown degenerate and kind of a jerk.
Yeah.
I'm really not this bad.
It's like Jordan. You're really just the GOAT, but...
Right. I'm the GOAT of prop bets.
There was one more where somebody had to, like, run down the stairs at the Max and touch the bottom and then come back up. Or, like, side to side in the Max. Like, Teach was... I don't think it was the Max. I really feel like it was... Where's the nice place that you got? We never could go back because you yelled at the dude with the nice car.
Oh, Ashton Place.
Carlisle. Oh, Ashton Place.
Ashton Place.
It was either Ashton Place or Carlisle, and somebody's running up and down, back and forth, and you got the whole room rooting for them.
Yeah.
And you're timing them. It's really, it's good to get the whole poker room involved.
Right, it's fun.
Some degeneracy.
It makes everybody, it's a little bit for the whole family. Everybody gets to have a little bit of fun.
Right.
Well, that's going to prop bets. I wish I had.
So the one thing I have one more, but we don't have time for it today, but we'll kick off next episode with Laden things.
Laden. That is a game that I am slightly fearful of, and I love being the person that they ask because I know what they're doing, and I always give them the most goofy answers. It's great.
Yes.
They're like, how many people does a Cubs stadium hold? And I'm like, 7.
Right.
It's great. You just totally throw off everybody's dynamic. All right. Well, that's going to do it for episode 13. Prop bets, side bets, and pure degeneracy of poker players and gamblers in general. I love it.
On the way out, one of the more degenerate ones is me and KJ both put $100 in the slot machine, and we wagered $200 on who could lose the 100 first. And let me tell you,
I forgot
that
about
right
that,
there,
too.
We're trying to lose, just hitting the machine as hard, because if you lose 100, you win 200. And then, like, KJ would get into the bonus and be like, no! And, I mean, that's
first time I ever hit a bonus that I wasn't excited about, yeah. Oh, that's good.
That's when you've gone full-blown off the rails.
You're trying to lose your money as quickly as possible to win a side bet. That's great. All right, well, episode 13, thanks for listening. Make sure you hit that subscribe button wherever you are listening to this podcast. And as always, we greatly appreciate any kind of review, but certainly 5-star reviews are most requested. Thank you so very much for listening, and we will catch you guys next week for episode 14, which we will figure out what that will be the Tuesday before it comes out.
You mean like 4 hours before it comes out?
Yeah, okay, 4 hours before it comes out. So if you have any ideas, let us know, because we're desperately in need of some new ideas.
That's it. That's all I got. Right. I got no tagline. I'm out.
Thanks for listening. Bye, everybody.